What's up, everybody? How y'all doing today? Come on, Labor Day weekend. So great to be in church together. So glad that all of you are here with us on Labor Day weekend. Thank you for being a part of LifePoint Church. My name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as lead pastor. And I say that specifically for all of you who are here for the very first time. Can we give it up, LifePoint, for our guests today? We love having new people with us today. And it is a great time to join us. This is a brand new series. It's a talk that'll help you orient to our church right away. In fact, today's message will bring a lot of clarity as to who we are and what we're all about here. I do want to take a moment and say what's up to everyone who's joining us through our live stream, our podcast, website, as well as our video locations, specifically at North Clarksville, meeting at West Creek Middle School. Starting next Sunday, we'll also be greeting our newest campus at Austin Peay State University. So excited about that. Yeah. Hey, what's up to everybody at Tacoma and our Tacoma, Washington location and San Antonio. We love you guys, and our online campus continues to grow. So thankful for our church and being one church in many places. If you can, if an usher comes by and we're crowded in the room that you're sitting in, if you would please scoot in and make room for others. So I'm starting a brand new series today. It's a series called What About Blank? And so it's one that we've done for the last few years here. Easter Sunday, we gave you a survey. And we asked you to just give us some of the backstory of how you got to LifePoint Church, what's your church history, if you had one, and how long have you been a Christian, are you a part of a life group, like all these kind of different questions. And then we said at the end of the survey, we said, if you could hear any sermon on any topic, fill in the blank. What about this? What about blank? And so you guys asked all kinds of fun questions, crazy questions, hard questions. In fact, multiple pages have come in of your questions. And so we're going to narrow it down to five for a sermon series. And you asked about relationships, how to deal with crazy people or difficult people. What about the Christian worldview on things like politics, border issues, race and gender discussions? What about money? Certain books of the Bible. A lot of you want to know about the end times. Ooh. We're in the end times, so deal with it. Okay, what about all sorts of stuff? Well, I'm really excited about this series because honestly, it's a reflection of what you're asking about and what you want to know. So let me just set up the series for just a moment. Again, we've done this for years. You can go back on our website and listen to some of the other talks that we've done over the years. But over the next few weeks, I'm going to topically address some of your pressing questions, always committing to leaning heavily into what the Bible says. How many of you know we value what the Bible says more than anything, right? And so we're gonna lean into what Scripture has to say about some of those questions. And as an added treat, I want to tell you about two special guests that we're going to have throughout this series. Many of you have asked about some of the current cultural realities. If you get online, it doesn't take long for you to realize there's some stuff going on around us, race issues, gender issues, sexuality issues. How do we deal with our border? How do we feel about weapons, cyber technology, artificial intelligence, etc.? Am I allowed to watch Game of Thrones? You know, what do Christians do with that? So in a couple of weeks, I've asked my friend Gabe Lyons to join me for a one-on-one discussion. Now, he and I are going to be up here together. And it's not going to be him as a guest speaker. He's going to be my guest, and we're going to talk back and forth. Gabe is the curator and the creator of Q Ideas. It's a conference. It's an annual conference. It comes along with a website. Tons of curated videos and teachings on all kinds of cultural issues. Think of like a TED Talk, but for the faith community. And he and I are going to talk through a lot of what I'm calling Instagram issues, right? All the stuff you're seeing on social media, all the buzzworthy issues. Many of you heard his wife, Rebecca Lyons. She was one of our speakers at Flourish Women's Conference this May. Gabe actually co-authored the book Unchristian, which is one of the most prolific books that I've read in years on how to be a church that cares about people far from God. And so he's a great thought leader and great Christian leader in the space of all things to do with culture. And so Gabe and I are going to sit up here together and talk through a lot of those Instagram issues. You know what I'm talking about. And then I'm very excited for the first time ever. Everybody say ever. Yeah. Seeing if you're listening. For the first time ever, I am going to be joined for the final talk in this series by my wife, Stephanie, to discuss your questions. Yeah, I can't wait. We're going to discuss your questions related to home life. And I can't wait. We're going to talk about marriage and money and parenting and fighting and how to win and faith. We'll talk about saving yourself and all that kind of stuff and winning fights. We're going to really talk about how I win all my fights. So she's asked me as long as we've been here. She said, please don't ever ask me to speak on the platform. So I haven't even told her yet. That's the fun part. I'm telling you first. So now she's stuck. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. Please join us for this series. This is a great series for you to invite people to come to as well. because we're dealing with questions that everybody's asking. And so today I'm starting with a series that's really focused about LifePoint more than our culture that we live in, because I hear some versions of these types of questions all the time. Well, tell me more about LifePoint. What do you guys do anyway? And I get it out in public. I'll get it at Starbucks. I get it in the lobby all the time. Hey, I got a question about this. What do you do about this? When do we do this kind of a thing? In fact, just today I had somebody say, now, where do we meet for Sunday school class? And so I'm always getting questions asked about the strategy and the systems and the plan of LifePoint Church. And I realize that I have not really done a clear teaching on that in a long time. And so I decided that we were going to open the What About series by asking the question, what about the vision of our church? Now, in the church world, the word vision can be a little mysterious or weird. Some people say, yeah, young preacher, what's your vision for the church? And what they really want to know is, what do I envision for the church? What's my dream? And I got to tell you something. I have tons of dreams and visions and like desires for this church. In fact, I don't know if all the things that I see the Lord's doing in this church will happen in my lifetime or tenure, but I still believe God's got great plans for the church of Jesus Christ and as it reflects at LifePoint Church. I see us as continuing to grow and expand into more locations, more sites. I see us launching a campus on the moon one day. Come on, somebody. So I have a lot of dreams and things that I envision. I do see us growing as a larger multi-site church, and God continues to bring growth here. In fact, week over week for the last 6 weeks, we're seeing growth every weekend. And so God's growing his church here. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the dreams of a pastor. When I asked a question about vision, I'm talking about the strategy. I'm talking about the plan for how we do church here. And every one of you has a vision for your life. Whether you've actually made plans intentionally or not, you have a vision. If you don't have a plan, that's your plan. Some of you got that. Some of you are like just so non-visionary. You're like, I don't even understand what that means. You know, not planning is planning. It's not planning to plan, which is your plan. What's your plan? I don't have one. I'm just going to wing it. And that's how some of us treat our whole lives. But think about it like this. You make plans for vacations. You make plans for job advancement, education. You have strategy and systems on the plans for how you'll spend the rest of your day. Some of you are like, I wish you'd shut up because I got to go. I got stuff to do today. How are you going to spend your Labor Day? I like to say the basic idea of a vision for a church is what's the plan or the strategy of that church. If you take a trip to Florida, what do? You get out a map. Well, old school, my wife used to keep the big atlases, you know, from the Rand McNally atlases. You might remember those things. You open them up and you hit the driver with it. We get them old atlases out. We'd plan a trip. We'd make a plan, book a hotel, get on Airbnb, figure out where you're going to stop and use the bathroom or eat. If you want to buy a new car, you create a plan, you get a strategy of saving money or financing or what bank are you going to use. If you're ready to start having kids, some of you make a plan for that. Others of you just wing it, you just go for it. The biblical precedent for having a vision, a strategy, and a plan comes from this old prophetic book called Habakkuk. In the second chapter of this Old Testament book, we read this passage from Habakkuk, chapter 2, starting in verse 2, and the Lord answers to Habakkuk. And here's the instruction he gives this young prophet. He said, write down the vision. Can I just tell you how like strategic God is? You know, he created everything with fine detail. God is a strategic God. Some of his people aren't very strategic, but God's very strategic. And he tells Habakkuk, he goes, write it down. And write it down and make it plain. And in the day, it was on tablets, right? So, I mean, we don't use tablets unless it's an iPad, I guess, as a tablet. But he said, that was a Bible joke. He said, write it down, make it plain on tablets so that the person may run who reads it. Like, you want a system and a plan that's so simple and so plain that anybody who reads it can know it. Sometimes in the church world, we build an 82-point plan to build a church. And I got to be honest, I think even Jesus would get tired at that. He's like, I don't even know why y'all that busy. So we have strategically come up with a 4-part plan or vision or process for our church. He said, write it down, make it plain, so that anybody who reads it can run with that plan. For still, the vision awaits its appointed time. In other words, he's saying, like, the thing that you envision, the thing you're planning for, it's gonna come, but you gotta plan for that. You gotta make it plain and write it down so everybody knows it. And the vision hastens to the end, and the vision won't lie. He said, wait for it, it'll come, it won't delay. So I love that passage. I love that God is strategic. I love that God doesn't demand convoluted and confusing. Like, we can have a simple plan as a church. And that's what we have today. And many of you have never heard it. Our church continues to grow. In fact, just in the last year, Sunday to Sunday, we've seen growth already of 1,000 people more by this time of the year than where we started in like February. And so we're growing. Many of you have never heard this before. And so you're new to our church, and we think it's fitting to share it with you. So what about the vision of the church? What's the plan of this place? All of you who are military folks, let me back up and remind you, we have a vision, or excuse me, the mission. The mission of the church is what we do. All of you that know military life, you know the mission is it's the action. It's the thing we're doing. It's the place we're going. It's the steps we're going to take to get there, right, is included in that. But the mission is what we do, and here's our mission. Can I just tell you, Jesus gave us a mission. It's called the Great Commission, and we don't get to change the mission of God. We don't get to rewrite the plan of God or the desire of God when it comes to people far from God, right? So here's the mission from Matthew 28. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I've taught you. And then he said, I'll be with you in this effort forever. I'll always be a part of that effort. And so we say it like this. Our mission, what we do at LifePoint, is we want to lead people. Can I just pause and say, we're not here to lead programs. We're not here to lead a building. We're not here to lead chairs. None of this place is sacred. You're sacred. So we're here about people. And our job is to lead human beings to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. I don't want you to be a follower of me. I don't want you to be a follower of a denominational brand. I don't want you to be a follower of a red letter L. Some of y'all got that on your car, and y'all need to be better drivers. I'm just telling you, I see you. I see you out and about. Some of y'all are good drivers, and I'll pull up beside you. I'm like, hey, some of you are terrible drivers, and I'm reporting you. It's a blue Mazda. It's got a LifePoint sticker on it. I'm just kidding. By the way, I don't keep a LifePoint sticker on my car because I'm a terrible driver. All right, anyway, I really don't. My wife's like, you're not allowed to have a sticker on your car. Okay, so I can drive how I want. Anyway, our job's to lead people. That's pretty funny. To be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Listen, everything we're doing here is about pointing people to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Man, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about church folks. It's about Jesus. And listen, whether you're a non-believer, you're just kicking the tires on this church and religion thing, you've never been here before, whether you're a new believer, baby Christian, or whether you're a seasoned believer, you've basically been hanging out with Jesus since he resurrected. If you're not dead, you have room to grow in your devotion. Every one of us, non-believer to seasoned believer, we all have room to take our next steps in our devotion to Jesus. And so what that means is, everything that we do as a church, everything we do as a team, everything we do as leaders and staff, when we add new buildings, new services, buy more chairs, when we put them in the lobby, hire staff, everything we pay for, everything we spend our energy and our money on, everything is about this. And listen, if we have any efforts that doesn't do this, we don't need to do them. Well, why don't you have this program? Why don't you have this activity? Because if it doesn't help us lead people to be devoted to Jesus, they may be fun and they may not even be wrong. They just don't help us accomplish our bottom line. In fact, I like to say, no matter where you are in your journey, you have room to grow. And so everything we do as a church needs to be about helping you move in your devotion. Now, so that's what we do. The mission of our church is what we do. But the how we do it is the vision. It's like having an instruction manual for putting together an IKEA bookshelf. How many of you thankful for that? Bless God. IKEA is awesome until you get the box home, and then they're the devil. I mean, how hard is it for you to put that together yourself? It's impossible. But when you get this IKEA bookshelf or whatever it is, my wife was so excited. She went and bought dressers from IKEA way back in the day when we were finally getting like grown people furniture for our house. You know what I'm talking about, like newlyweds, it was all donated garbage furniture that other people hated. And they're like, here, son, have this. It's like, thanks, so generous. People gave us their garbage. So about 5 years ago, she went out and picked out grown people furniture from IKEA. She's at the store and she's like, I love that. It's amazing. I'm like, okay. I'm thinking I'm going to pick up a dresser and put it in the... Nope. Picked up a box that was this thick and this wide, 8 feet long. It takes two people to lift it, but she's 100 pounds, so it took one man to lift it. The devil. It took me 5 hours to put that lovely dresser together. But I couldn't have done it without a guide, without a step-by-step guide. And I love that God tells Habakkuk, make the steps plain. I will say this about IKEA step-by-step. It's very simple. Anyone could pick up that manual and read it. You know what they don't do? Words. IKEA manuals are all pictures. You know why? Because the IKEA knows wives pick it out and men put it together. That's what it is. All right, anyway. Stay focused. It's the step-by-step God. And I believe God has a step-by-step process for what he wants to happen in your life. God says he wants you to grow in devotion. The question is, how does he want us to do it? And that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of our time together. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. In other words, if there's no plan, if there's no step-by-step plan, then you're just winging it. There's no plan, there's no vision, there's no strategy. Then you're just, you're borderless. You have no restraint. You've heard it like this in the New International, where there's no vision, the people perish. And the point is, it's like putting together that dresser with no manual. That dresser looks like a canoe. And I'm like, babe, aren't you proud of me? She's like, yes, but I can't put clothes in it because I got rid of the manual. Some of you guys are like that too. You're like, I don't need no stinking manual. And you just throw it. I don't know why your accent sounds like that in my head. I feel like I said Emmanuel too. I don't need Emmanuel. Here we go. All right. So the point is, God has given us clearly articulated steps. And we believe that since it's God's plan, and we believe since we are God's church, then we should do God's plan. Is that fair? Let me try that one more time. We believe that God's plan, since it's God's plan and we are God's church, that we should do God's plan. So it goes way back to your left side of your Bible in the book of Exodus. So Moses is leading the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. God says in chapter 3, he's called Moses to do it. Moses gave a bunch of excuses. I preached on that for 4 weeks back in June. You should go check out that series. But then in chapter 6, God is now instructing Moses, and he's telling him the plan of what God intends to do with the nation of Israel, who are enslaved in Egypt. And this story becomes this great allegory for our story of bondage too. And he gives Moses these four promises, these four statements that have been true. These have been celebrated in all of Jewish history. And even today in Israel, when we go in March, we're gonna see these four promises still celebrated today for the Jewish people. And here's what God says to Moses. He said, tell the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will, everybody say, I will. Here's what he says. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And this is a word of, it's a promise of, I will save you. I'll get you out of there. I'll get you out of the bondage and the burden of Egypt. First step has to be, if he's gonna set these people free from Egyptian slavery and the whole problem that comes up, he said, the first thing I gotta do is get you out of there. I'm gonna save you. I'm gonna get you out of Egypt. Then he says, I will deliver you from slavery or bondage to Egypt, which is interesting that God says, I got to get you out of Egypt first. And now he's saying, I got to get Egypt out of you. Can I tell you, in the church world, a lot of times we've been really good at preaching towards the first thing, I want to get you saved. But then we don't do a great job at getting people delivered and set free. God says, I want to get you out of Egypt. Then I want to get Egypt out of you. You've been living there for hundreds of years. You've got the baggage, you've got the bondage, you've got all these things. And let me just tell you something, guys. Listen, some of you have been serving Christ, you've been Christians, you've just not been set free from the thing he saved you from. And that's your next step. That's what he wants for you. He says, I will, third promise, I will redeem you, which is a very churchy word. I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm. God's saying, I'm gonna put my hands in the middle of your redemption and your repurposing and your repackaging. And then he says, I will take you to be my people. Isn't it great to know that we're God's people now? But look at the other side of it. And I will be your God. God says, you're going to be mine and I'm going to be yours. So we have these four promises from God. He said, I'm going to bring you out from Egypt. I'm going to deliver you from slavery to Egypt. I'm going to redeem you with my own hands and acts of judgment. And I will be your God and you will be my people. Man, I'm telling you, this is such an incredibly refreshing passage. This is the vision. This is the system. There's four promises that God makes here for all people. And listen, these are still the promises and the plan and the vision that God has for us. So let's walk through it together here. First of all, the first part of this, that first promise I gave you where he said, I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. That's a promise of salvation. And we say it like this. We want you to know God. We want you to be saved. Can I tell you, nothing is primary in this church except for you giving your life to Jesus. It's the most important thing you will ever do in your life, ever. The most important step is that you come to know God. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Are y'all in a talking mood today? Because I sure am. Can I get some more amens? The first step of what we do as a church is help you know God. And the first thing God wants for every person on the planet is that they be brought out from under the burden of life in bondage. They'd be brought out from their life of sin. Listen, for you to come out of the burden of sin, bondage to this world, to experience the Lord's salvation, this is God's first step for you. So we believe it's our first step for you because we're God's church. We believe that in everything God has for you, he has great things for you. We know these passages where he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and to prosper you. But the first part is that you be saved, that you give your life to Jesus. The biblical term for it in the New Testament is salvation. Be saved, rescued from a life of sin and brought near from a life of distance from God. If you heard the message last Sunday, we talked about the parable of the two sons and how the heart of the father was turned towards the son who was missing. Can I tell you something, church? God's heart is always for those who are still missing, and our heart is for those who are missing. We believe the first thing that we do as a church is help people know God and to know the God who wants to know them. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've not been saved from your sin, if you've not put your faith in Christ Jesus, if you're not rescued from your despair apart from God, then listen, it doesn't matter how good your church attendance is, how much we teach you, train you, and do for you. Our first desire is for you to know God and be in relationship with him. You don't get to stand before God in judgment one day and say, but I went to Pastor Mike's church. You have to know God. That's our first desire for you. So the way that we do that, and we said it at the front end of this little passage, we want you to know God. And the best way we know how to do that as a church is to put on a great Sunday morning experience. In fact, in America, the primary way that new people engage the body of Christ, that new people engage a church, is by being a guest on a Sunday morning. Sunday is still church day in almost all of the United States, even though, now listen, I'm honest here, even though the majority of Americans do not attend church on Sundays anymore, the majority of first-time guests to a church will be a guest on a Sunday. Even though most Americans don't attend church anymore, most of them, when they do engage a church, will be on a Sunday morning. Most non-church people are not thinking about some Tuesday night Bible study or some Friday night car show or some outreach event. They're thinking, if I want to get to a church, I'm going to go on a Sunday. What time do they meet on Sunday? So that means Sunday mornings are important for people to come to know God. The majority of first-time guests to a church, in fact, over 85% of unchurched people would say, I would go if someone invited me. And the majority of first-time guests to a church will be guests on a Sunday morning. So that means we will always be a church that's ready for new people to come meet the Lord on Sunday mornings. I should have gotten a little bit better response. I know at North Clarksville, they're shouting me down over there. They're like, yeah, waving flags and everything. But here at Rossview, you guys are a little dead. That means we will always be a church that's ready for new people to come and meet the Lord on a Sunday morning. Always. That means we're going to be friendly. We're going to use excellence. That means we will be ready. That means we're going to be generous with handshakes and side hugs and serving others and opening doors physically and literally and figuratively for people. We will always be a church that makes room for other people. We say that any person is welcome to come to LifePoint Church and meet the Lord, to be met by the Lord, and to be engaged by God's people. We know that Sundays are valuable front doors to a life with Jesus. I heard a recent stat from a pastor in town in Clarksville, Montgomery County, that over 85 to 90% of our county in our town do not attend church on Sunday mornings. That means we have work to do. And some people go, well, look how full our buildings are. Look, we're almost packed out. No, because outside is way more packed than in our buildings. And we will always be a church that makes room for the Sunday experience to be a great way for people to come and meet God. Years ago, we used to do this outreach event called our Halloween Block Party. How many of y'all remember them days? Man, I got so much flack. People were like, Halloween's the devil's day. I said, I didn't know the devil got a day. Like in the whole calendar planning of the year, you know what I'm saying, in heaven, the angels are up there and they're like, I got St. Patrick's Day, I got Valentine's Day, and the devil's like, I want October 31st. You know, like, I didn't know that happened. And God's like, it's a throwaway day anyway, let him have it. You know, like, the devil's like, hee hee, here we go, October 31st. That never happened. Halloween's the devil's day. Well, guess what? Your pastor was saved on Halloween. So take that, devil, in the face. I gave my life to Jesus on Halloween. So I guess he don't get it. I took that day back. We used to do a Halloween block party, and it was the biggest event of our year. In fact, the last year we did it, it was over 5,000 people. And we did it at the 4-H building next to our Rossview Road location. And the cops came and they're like, please stop doing this crazy event. Like, we had somebody life flighted out because they couldn't get through the traffic with an ambulance. It was terrible. And then we started counting like the amount of people that had come to that event versus the amount of guests we'd have over 52 Sundays. And we always had more people come throughout the year than at one event. So you know what we did? We killed the Halloween block party.
Because it's the devil's day.
No, because Sunday is still the Lord's day. And because more people are coming to know God at a Sunday service than at a trunk or treat. So we just have reoriented everything. Sundays matter. We know that Sundays are a front door to life with Jesus. And we want to have 52 unforgettable Sundays every year. Because people are coming who are far from God, who need to get close to God, and are needing the first step with God. They need that step of salvation. They are coming because, like I said last Sunday in our sermon on the two boys, they are coming to themselves going, I've got to get back to my Father's house. So let me tell you something. We will have the same culture, the same sermon at every location, at every service, even if by video moving forward. We believe that God will have us continue to launch new campuses, continue to start new locations, because we want to help more people know God. And it's our prayer for every church in this city that we always make room for more people to come and know God. In fact, we're making the move officially at all of our locations now that all of our campuses will be video campuses moving forward. Live preaching will be at our Rossview location, and every campus we start and have will be a broadcast campus moving forward, even offering video at our Rossview location from time to time. And all of our Rossview people said amen.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you for saying that. All right. We're actually making a change that you need to know about, especially those of you that are in our middle time services. How many of you know that traffic is still an issue for us, and we're praying and believing God that somehow it's going to be taken care of? And I'm just trusting the Lord for that at this point. But some of you guys lose the very soul you're trying to give to Jesus trying to drive into our Rossview location. Some of you are coming to church, and you're all gleeful, and you got Carrie Jobun in the car, and you're worshiping, and then you hit that traffic, and you're like, everything godly leaves your body. We're going to help you. Starting in two Sundays from today, we're actually moving our service times around. And at our Rossview Road location, now you guys need to pay attention to this, especially our middle services. Rossview Road will keep our 8 o'clock service, always live, always the video feed for multiple services. Then we're moving our 9:30 service back 15 minutes to give you more time through the parking process and get the campus turned over to 9:45. So it's only a 15-minute adjustment. And then our third service at Rossview will go from 11:15 to an 11:30 start time. So both of those just bump back 15 minutes to give more time between here and between here. And then our 1 o'clock service stays the same. At our North Clarksville campus, again, to make a better experience, to make more room for people to come and know God, we're moving their services from 9:30 to 11:15. Also to match the Rossview campus to 9:45 and 11:30. And then starting on September 8th, which I don't think this will be their campus schedule for long because they're going to grow into two services right away. But at Austin Peay State University, we are launching next Sunday a 6 p.m. service. And pretty soon they will be in two services as well, which means we now have 7 opportunities with the same message, the same voice, the same preacher preaching the same word. That 7 opportunities on a Sunday for people to come and know God. Because the first thing God wants for everybody in this world is for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Isn't that good news, everybody? So excited. God says to everybody here, like he said in the text, I will bring you out from your sin, from the burdens of the Egyptians. And listen, every Sunday, no matter what location, whether it's live teaching or video, you will have an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. That's why we keep opening new locations and campuses to provide more seats, because Sunday is still the Lord's day and people need to give their lives to Christ. Amen. By the way, today, if you're new to Jesus, we want you to be baptized and go public. You've heard about our river baptism. We do it once a year. So far, we already have about 125 people registered for river baptisms today at Billy Dunlop Park. No matter where you're watching from, join us there. Wear dark shorts, bring your own towel. We'll give you a shirt. But listen, it is a great day to go public in the faith that God has placed in your life. Amen, everyone. Man, I'm excited. This is exciting days to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I love it. Second part of our vision, remember, write the vision, make it plain. God says, I will save you out of Egypt. Then he goes, I will deliver you from slavery to the Egyptians. Now God says, I'm gonna get you out of Egypt, and now I wanna deliver Egypt out of you. They'd been there hundreds of years as a people, as a nation. They had Egyptian hairstyles and Egyptian habits and diets and instructions in their lives. And God says, I got to get all that out of you. And some of you guys have said yes to Jesus. You've just not said no to a sinful lifestyle that you've been a part of. You've said yes to eternal life. You just haven't said yes to eternal living. And God says, I want to get that stuff out of you. I want to deliver you. And so the way that we help you find freedom, find deliverance, is through our life groups. Man, I'm telling you, not only does God want to save us from our sin, but he wants to deliver us from sinful lifestyles. It's like God said, I'm going to get you out of Egypt, get Egypt out of you. Some of us come from backgrounds where deliverance is a loaded word, a loaded experience. It's kind of a weird altar call moment. But we actually believe that in a spiritually healthy church, healing will come in the form of deliverance as we learn to do life in smaller groups. In fact, I am more interested as your pastor in us being a church of small groups than being a church of large Sunday gatherings. I love the Sunday gathering. I love the big rooms. I love that we're in big places around town. But I believe while Sunday is the biggest thing we do, small groups are the best things we do. Listen, you and I are not meant to do this life alone. You are not meant to be some anonymous church attender in the back of a big auditorium. You and I are meant to do life together with other followers of Jesus. Our spiritual health and healing comes in this form of deliverance as we do life together. Listen, Jesus did ministry with thousands, but he did life with 12. And if you and I want to be more like Christ, we need to understand there's a place for the gathering of ministry in thousands, but man, we have got to do life with smaller groups. Some of you, you love worshiping God on Sunday in the anonymity of a big room, but you're doing life with people that are dragging you away from Christ. You're doing life with your ride or die friends from when you were 7 years old. Well, some of those relationships just need to die, and you need to ride with some people that are riding you into the glory of Jesus. Come on, somebody. And it's time for us to make those changes and transitions in our lives. We do life together because the Bible tells us to do life together. He says, as iron sharpens iron, so are we to sharpen one another. Many times people call in the church and they go, I need to meet with Pastor. I got to talk to Pastor Mike. I got challenges and struggles. And listen, I love being your pastor, but there's too many of you. You don't need me. I'm just another member of the church. You don't need me. You need each other. You need a friend in this church that you can call and lean on. You don't need a meeting with me. You need a meeting with the body of Christ. James says it like this in chapter 5, verse 16. He says, confess your sins to one another. Look at this one another language, James, the brother of Jesus. He doesn't say confess your sins to your pastor. Confess your sins to a priest. No, he says confess your sins to each other and then pray for one another. Man, can I tell you, some of us just need to learn the place of vulnerability. To go, hey man, I'm struggling. I messed up. I made a mistake. Would you pray for me? Man, one of the things I hate when people say, man, you're in my thoughts. Don't think about me. Pray about me. Like, quit. What are you doing? I'm thinking about you. Stop it. Take your thoughts and give them to God. Peter said, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares. Stop thinking about me. You know, every time a tragedy happens, our thoughts and prayers. Stop thinking and pray. And if you think about it, pray about it. James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Well, I got to talk to my pastor. No, you need a small group. Every time somebody calls in for an appointment with me, we go, who's your small group leader? And if they don't have one, we go, have you considered being a part of a life group? We got 200 life groups that meet. We want hundreds more. And we say, your life group leaders are your first line of defense. Those are the ones that come in your hospital visits, throw your baby showers. They're the ones that pray with you and your group gathers around you because they know you. Jesus didn't call the crowds to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked Peter, James, and John, would you pray for me? Because he did life with those guys in groups. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I can't tell you enough how much we believe every person should be in a life group. We've changed our whole ministry strategy for kids ministry, for student ministry, for young adults and college ministry. Listen, we are not trying to build a church on big services. We want to build a church on small groups. Our kids are in small groups. Our students are in small groups. Our college students are in small groups. We want everyone in our church to be a part of a small group. The biggest thing we do Sundays, but the best thing we do is we want you to find freedom and deliverance by doing life in groups with people. We launch our small groups next week. We call them our life groups. I keep calling them small groups, sorry. We launch them next Sunday, September 8th. Get on our website today, lifepointchurch.tv/groups, life groups. I don't know, figure it out, find it, it's on there. Now listen, I know we tell you don't judge people, don't be judgmental. I give you freedom to completely pick a group based on your judgment. Look at their little photo and go, I don't think I'm gonna like them. I think I'm gonna like them. They look like me. They look friendly. They look like they eat good. I'm gonna go to their group. Like, figure it out. Find a group. And you go, well, that group is weird. So are you. We're all weird. We all need Jesus. We need healing from our weirdness. Quit being a loner. Get in a group. Man, it's the best thing that we have for you. In fact, if you've never been in a life group, we'd love for you to go to group one, which meets in our building on Tuesday nights. It's the first group for anybody here. If you've never been to a life group, we'd love for you to go group one. You come in here, 150 of you at our Rossview location, and then we break you into 12 circles and you do life together for 10 weeks. We're gonna teach you how to read your Bible, how to pray. It's the first small group that we offer in our church. But otherwise, get on our website, join a life group. It's the best thing we do here. I promise you, it's the best thing we do. I don't know if you know this, but I don't get up on platform very much and confess all my sins to the church. Did you know that I sin? Some of you are shocked, like, really? Some of you are like, oh yeah, I knew it. Can I tell you that every week I'm making confession to people in my groups? I'm making confession where I need, hey, pray for me. Just last week, I've got a small group of pastor buddies that we pray for one another this morning, praying for each other. And that's where I confess. That's where I'm trying to get healed, keep my life right before the Lord. Y'all don't need me doing that up here on Sunday. Well, here's what I did on Tuesday. Y'all ain't even gonna believe this. Write the vision, make it plain. Number one, we want you to know God through Sundays, find freedom in groups. Third, we want to help you discover your purpose. Remember what God says? I will save you from Egypt. I'll deliver you from bondage to Egypt. And then he said, I will redeem you. Redemption, that's such a churchy word, but I'm gonna tell you what redemption means. It means repurpose. I'm gonna revalue your life. I'm gonna rehab you. And he says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. In other words, God's saying, I'm gonna do it with my own hands. I'm gonna get involved in your redemption. And I'll redeem you with great acts of judgment. And that's not a negative God judging us. It's him deciding for us and him calling things what they should be. God says, I'm gonna call the things in your life as they are. Your family said this about you, but I'm judging you a different way. I say you've got life in you. I say you're healed. I say you're better coming than you were when you got here. God's gonna judge you in a better way. And he says, I'm gonna get my hands involved in your redemption and your come up story. Man, to redeem something's to renew it, like we do with renovating houses and cars and restoring its original luster. And the Israelites had a story, and God said, I'll use that story for my glory. Their bondage became an architect of our bondage. Their story became a type and shadow of our stories. And listen, everything you've experienced, everything you've gone through, every good, every bad, every victory, every defeat, every high and low, God can use for his glory. Joseph, when he was sold into slavery by his own brothers, that's a horrible story. He says to his brothers in Genesis 50, he goes, the Lord and I are good, and what you meant for evil, God will use for my good. God says, I'll redeem that. God may not have been in that. God may have allowed that, but God says, I'll use it if you let me have it. In Romans 8, he says it like this. We know that for those who love God, because we've said yes to know God, and we're working out our freedom, our deliverance, for those who love God, all things will work together for good for those who are called according to your purpose. You go, how is God going to use my story? I got baggage. I got pain. I got issues. God says, I know if you let me have it, I'll use it. I believe that God desires to get his hands on your life to see your full potential live out and actualize in this life. Listen, Peter writes it like this. His divine power has given us everything we need to live life and to live godly. There's greatness in you, church, because the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, according to Romans 8:11. I believe that God's plan is not just to save you and deliver you and set you free from some stuff, but he's gonna take the stuff he set you free from and says, I can repurpose that, I can repackage that, and now they will look more like me. We want to walk you through that part of your journey. The way we do redemption here at LifePoint Church, we do Sundays to help you know God. We do groups to help you find freedom and get delivered. And the way we help you figure out God's redemptive plan for your life is through our growth track. It's a two-session class. It's simple. It's straightforward. It's as clear as can be. Our growth track meets every Sunday at every location. It's our invitation to church membership, belong to his body. You go, well, I'm not worthy to be here. None of us are. And you're welcome here too. And it's also where we help you discover. And I think there's something really sacred that God does. This is where he says, I'll redeem you with my hands. There's something really sacred when you get in that class and you start discovering how God's wired you and built you. And some of the things you discover, your spouse is going, I told you you were that way. And God goes, I made you like this. Like, this is awesome. You're finding it. You're discovering it. And he says, I can use you for what we call our fourth part of our secret sauce, our dream team. Can all the dream teamers say, whoop, whoop? Come on, North Clarksville, where you at? Dream teamers, give me a shout. See, we believe all of that comes full circle to you and I being people who make a difference in the lives of others who are just like you and I used to be. God says, I'll save you from Egypt. I'll deliver you from Egypt. Look what he says. I'll redeem you with a mighty outstretched arm. And then he says, I'll take you to be my people and I'll be your God. Man, how many of you are so thankful that you and God are on lockdown? He's like, you're mine, I'm yours. You're mine, I'm yours. I'm yours, you're mine. Where you go, I go. Where I go, you go. He says, look, I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to fix you up. And then you and I, we're going to do some special things together. We're going to do life together forever. Can you imagine your life today reflecting all the good that God has done in you? And here's how it plays out for us. We believe that what God has done in you and through you, he wants to do in others. That's why we didn't build a church just for us. We're growing a church and making more campuses and new services because we believe just like we were far from God, our city is far from God. And God says, I want to now use you to be a part of them coming to me as well. We are the people of God. The fourth phase of God's plan and vision is the final part of LifePoint's plan and vision for you, is that every single part of what God's done for us and God's done in us that we would use to make a difference in the lives of other people. Jesus says in Luke 12, to whom much is given, much is now required. Everything God's done for you is not just for you to hoard and hold on till heaven. I'm so thankful God now involves us in his plan for the rest of the world. You got to remember Jesus, when he left this earth in the Great Commission, he said, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I died, I was buried, I resurrected. And then he goes, now it's your turn. I want you to go into all the world and tell everybody what I did. You go tell them about this glorious gospel. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he goes, man, nothing in this world matters except me getting to tell others about the glorious grace that's changed my life. He doesn't just save us and deliver us and then throw us in some holding tank until heaven, like that cosmic fish tank on a boat, you know, where you catch fish and you just throw them in the holding tank till you get back to shore. God doesn't do that with us. He grabs us up, he turns us around, he keeps delivering us, and then he enlists us into a holy volunteer base called the body of Christ. He saves us by his son. He delivers us through life with others. He redeems us by his own hand by repurposing our story, our baggage, our personality, our strengths. And then he includes us in making sure that all this happens in the lives of others. His desire is that everything he's done in you would become your gift to others. Look what Peter says. Each one of you, as you've received a gift, use it to serve others. Can I ask you, has God been good to you? Come on, somebody, can you raise your hand for me? Has God been good to you? That is your gift to others. And look, it may flesh out by serving, by opening a door, rocking a baby, playing a guitar, singing a song, running a camera. It may be that you're a super generous person on our legacy team or an usher helping people sit. You're not good with people, but you're good with fingers. Come on, somebody. You're just good at this right here. You don't even smile when you do. You just, this guy. Three. You know, God's been so good to you. Could you just be good to somebody else? Could you just be good to the next person? And here's the plan of God. This is why I love this vision. God said this is plain and it's simple. And write it down and let everybody know. So that's what we're doing today. What's the vision of the house? It's the vision of God for the people of God. And this is what he says. I want to save you. I want to fix you. I want to repurpose you. And then I want to use you to save them, to deliver them, to redeem them. And then to use them, to save them, to deliver them, to redeem them. Then to use them, to save them, to deliver them. It's a plain, simple plan. It's the plan that God has for us. It's the plan that God has you. And that's what works. We don't need to be any busier than that. Can I just tell you, if you don't have a heart for others, I don't know that you have a heart for God. If you don't have a heart to serve others, you're not looking like Jesus, who himself said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve others. And we want to see you take this final step as you've received from the Lord. Man, pour it out so that the next person, can I just tell you, when I gave my life to Jesus when I was 17, it was a 70-year-old dream teamer on Halloween who walked me through a prayer of salvation. And he told me, son, if you'll serve God the rest of your life, he'll be good to you and you'll be with him forever in heaven. I don't to this day know who that man is. But I'm standing here serving you because somebody used their gift to serve some knuckleheaded 17-year-old on Halloween who was only there because a cute girl invited me. I don't know why people come to this church. I don't know why you show up here. Here's what I know. We are a part of this plan of God. That we got saved, delivered, redeemed, and our fulfillment is helping you get saved, delivered, redeemed, that they can help others get saved, delivered, redeemed. Anybody's welcome to have their lives changed by Jesus. We invite you to do life in groups so that you can be healed. We want you to go through our growth track so you can figure out how God's wired you. And listen, join a team. Some of you are like, well, I'm just taking a break. Break's over. Jesus didn't get a break. You think Jesus took a week off one day? He's like, hey, I'm going to go down to the Sea of Galilee and just hang out for a week. You know what? I'm going to go down to the Dead Sea and just float around for a while. And his people never got a break. We don't get a break. We live for God all the time. By the way, some people think, you know, that preacher, he lets anybody come there. He's just watering it down. Watering it down. They just water it down. Just let anybody come. Can I just say, anybody's welcome to come. But you are not welcome to stay the way you were, because if God gets a hold of you, you're through. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know about you, but that's how it was for me. Hey, we don't care what your brokenness is looking like. God wants to fix that. God wants to deal with that. Sexual brokenness, marital brokenness, financial brokenness. You got bad theology, bad religion. God says, hey, just get around me. I'll fix that. But that's the plan of this church, because we believe it's the plan of God. Y'all see it from the book of Exodus there, Exodus 6? This is the plan. It makes sense. Write it down. Make it plain so that everyone who sees it can run with it. Listen, if you're a part of LifePoint Church, this is your plan. This is what we do. So let me just ask you in closing. It's real quick, and then I'm going to close this in prayer. Number one, would you trust God's process? Like so often in the church, well, we go, well, I think we should do it this way. I think we should try this. Stop. Just trust God. Just trust God's process. I want to see people saved. I want to see them delivered. I want to see them redeemed. I want to see them live a life of fulfillment and serving to others. So how did we orient ourselves? Can you just trust that Sundays are the time we're going to lead people? We're always going to invite people to get saved on Sundays. This is always a safe place for you to bring your unchurched friends. We will always serve with excellence and joy and happiness and friendliness and generosity because salvation matters. Can you trust the process that groups are the place where you'll get set free? Can you just trust that God says, I want you to do life in circles, not just do church in rows? Can you just trust it? God says, I want to redeem you. I want to take your story and your baggage and your pain and all your victories and defeats, and I want to remold that with my own hands. Can you just trust that? And our growth track will help expose that for you. When you trust that you can live a life of fulfillment, serving God by serving others, just get on a team. Serve people. Every day, everywhere you go, serve, be a servant. Would you take your next step? Every one of you that are here on a Sunday, you're in the first step. Some of you need to take the next step to join a group today. Get on our website, get online, take your next step. Maybe your next step's baptism. Today's the day. We're gonna get in there with snakes and all. We're gonna get it done fast. Get out. Some of y'all are gonna see walking on water for the first time in your life. We ask the snakes not to come. That's for the Pentecostal church baptism. Come on, somebody. That's funny right there. I don't care what you say. Take your next step. Join a group. So let me say, well, I don't like these people. They're weird. So are you. Welcome. I don't know if I can trust them. Probably can't. Don't leave your credit cards laying around for a little while. I don't know what to tell you. Just get in a group. Hey, Jesus couldn't fully trust Peter, James, and John either. Remember when he's like, hey, would you pray for me? I'm dying tomorrow. And they're like, yeah, Lord. They're not trustworthy. But that's how God delivers us from that stuff. Maybe your next steps go to Growth Track today. We had like a dozen people in there this last service. I always go to Growth Track at the beginning of every service. I was like, hey, a lot of y'all in here today. They're like, yeah, we are at the service. We're here. I think all of you need to serve. You need to be a part of making a way for others to know the God that you know. Would you trust God's process? Take your next step. And finally, this is a big ask. Would you try it for a year? Would you just try it for a year? And here's what I believe. If you'll give God a year for his system, his vision, his process, man, he'll change the rest of your life forever. You'll never want to go back. There's not another way to live than to live God's way. Would you give God a year of this? Just try it for a year and see what the Lord will do. I want to pray and close us out, and I'll hand it back to our campus pastors at all of our locations. As soon as I say amen, campus pastors will come and we'll give you opportunity to give and turn in connection cards. And don't leave yet. I want to lead us in a quick prayer of salvation and commitment to the plan of God for our lives. And then our pastors will come back and take the service. Let me lead us real quickly in prayer. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, just pray in response to me and repeat after me when I ask you to. We're going to go all in with Jesus today, because our primary goal for you is to know God. Give your life to Christ. So I'm going to invite you to that in just a moment. Let me pray over you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your church. I thank you for LifePoint at every location, that God, you're doing a great work in your people. God, I thank you that this vision makes sense. It's plain, it's simple, it's straightforward. It's 4 steps, not 80 steps, God. It's not convoluted. It's not cloaked in religious language. God, it's biblical. You want us to know God, find freedom, discover our purpose, and make a difference. So Lord, we're in. We accept what you have for us, and God, we commit to it in Jesus' name. Lord, would you absolutely lead us today to surrender all to the plan that you have for us. I believe this is the vision of God for the people of God. And since we are your church, this is our plan. So Lord, would you compel us to come, take our next step, and to trust you with your process. And God, I pray that we give you a year on all these things. In Jesus' name. Would you pray this with me? Come on, everybody at every location, pray. Say, God, I'm all in. Come on, say it for real. God, I'm all in. Say, I believe in Jesus, that he died for me so that I can live for him. Say, I give you my whole life. I give you my schedule. I give you my gifts, and I trust you to make a way for me in Jesus' name. To God be the glory, and I will live for you for the rest of my life. Come on, everybody, say amen. Amen.